Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs, co-host TJ Inman will be along with us shortly, and we welcome in Matt Weaver from Pegs.com to get a recruiting update on a busy June at IU football. But first, a word from our friends at SeatGeek. I'd like to take a second to introduce our newest friends from SeatGeek. Let them take the confusion out of your ticket buying experience. Instead of shopping dozens of sites to find the best deal, SeatGeek do the work for you. Their app scans the web for the best deals to your favorite game, concert, or show, and rates them on a scale of 0 to 10 to let you know if you're getting the best bang for your buck. A green dot marks great deals, yellow dot good deals, and red dot not so good deals. Use promo code ACAA, that's ACAA, at checkout to receive $20 off your first purchase. That's two free beers at the stadium on them. What are you waiting for? That's promo code ACAA for $20 off your first purchase. SeatGeek, life's an event, we have tickets. All right, now we welcome in TJ Inman and Matt Weaver to the show. TJ, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, very excited to talk IU recruiting with Matt. He's the best at this, so, you know, having the expert on to cover what has been a pretty exciting weekend for Indiana football. After a couple of perhaps frustrating ones, it was good to land some commitments of some really good players.
Yeah, IU has landed five commitments in June. Matt, how is it's about that same time again as last year where IU had that wave of commitments. What is the factor here? Is it kids coming in for official visits? Is it kids coming in for camps? What is it about this middle of June, end of June, that IU football likes so much?
Well, I think with the guys that you're bringing in now, these are the guys that, you know, you have, you know, basically indicated that they're going to decide around this time of the year. I mean, if you got a guy, you know, telling you that he's going to decide, you know, November, December, unless it's a local guy, you know, somebody that's within driving distance that you can get down, you know, later on an unofficial visit, you know, you're not going to bring that kid on an official. So these are the guys, you know, for the ones that were from farther away, Florida and places like that, you know, they pretty much indicated that they're closing in on a decision. So, you know, this is the time to bring him in. You know, this is kind of your last chance to bring him on an official visit. And, you know, these are guys, they've been working hard for a while, been recruiting for a while, and you know, obviously it went well this weekend with a few of them, and, you know, it looks like it went well with all of them, but it looks like obviously a few of them have already pulled the trigger, and, you know, I won't be surprised if we see a few more here the next upcoming days.
All right, let's go through these guys one by one, Matt. Let's start with Lemuel Neely-Watley. Hopefully I didn't butcher his name. I probably did. I apologize. He's a wide receiver, defensive back out of Michigan. He's teammates with Rayshon Williams, who's a four-star receiver from Martin Luther King. Do you envision him playing defense, and what kind of prospect is he?
Yeah, I think he'll be a corner. I think that's what they recruited him to play. I mean, obviously, you know, the receivers going to the opposite side of receivers, kind of a fallback. But I think the plan is for him to play corner. And with him and Christopher Keys, you know, the commit they got out of Mississippi a few weeks back, they're you know, right now they're done at corner. I mean, obviously things can change as you get to the season and all that. But, you know, this is an athletic guy. He's got good ball skills for playing receiver, good speed. And kind of you know, kind of started late at corner. I don't think he played corner until maybe his junior year, maybe last year, and just kind of, you know, kind of took to it. And so, you know, this is a guy that's still his, you know, all guys at this age, their development thing is still going up, but his is probably even more so than others just because he's so new to the position and, you know, probably still learning and getting it down. But, you know, as far as the physical build, he's got everything you want in the corner. I mean, got pretty good size. He's not a huge corner, but he's not, you know, he's not a you know, kind of a smaller guy out there either. So, played with Rashawn Williams last year, like you said, at King. Is actually transferred to Harper Woods, where his the coach he was played for his first couple years of high school will be the head coach. So, good prospect, a guy that's, you know, impressed when he's been out on the camp scene has been seen by the recruiting guys, and you know, good get for the program.
The one question that I had was related to a player that, you know, this guy and Rashawn Williams have both played with, Penny Boone, and I might have mispronounced that first name, but running back that from King in Michigan and Detroit. Does this make him perhaps even a bigger target for the Indiana staff, or I haven't heard anything on him in a while. Has that ship sailed a little bit, or is Indiana still hot on his trail and these commitments, you know, from two guys that he's very familiar with, does that kind of increase how Indiana looks to him?
Well, Penny recently committed to Maryland. I think it was in the last week or so. I would guess they'll still
right.
talk to him. The thing is that you know, running back, they would take a guy like him, but it's, you know, with what they have, and on paper, you're not due to lose anything. You know, they're gonna be obviously highly selective at running back, and in a class where you don't expect to get to 25, you have limited spots. I mean, if he had a change of heart or if he wanted to come for a visit, I'm sure they would be open to it, because obviously Petty Boone's a really good player. But it's not one of those things where it's an urgent deal or where it's, you know, you really have to. You really have to go all out because you need to take a guy at that position. I mean, it's more of a luxury than a need. So, but with two guys that he obviously, you know, two guys that he played with and knows well, I would think you'll still be. And Mike Hart obviously is a guy that, you know, last year, you know, he was part of the flipping Samson James, and, you know, I'm sure he'll still stay in contact, and, you know, but he's not going to chase the guy just for the sake of chasing him. But if there's a chance that the door is still, you know, slightly ajar, I'm sure they'll keep trying.
And then Dexter Williams, the next guy we can talk about. Hunter Deckers, you know, quarterback that they were very high on, but Dexter Williams, by all accounts, was right there at the top of their wish list. And big commitment from the quarterback right after Deckers commits to Iowa State. So if you could talk about Dexter Williams and kind of the what he brings to the position, and also I know something that you mentioned before on a podcast with us was Indiana was looking for a quarterback that, if necessary, could contribute at other positions, and Williams seems to bring that.
Yeah, and like you said, Hunter Deckers and Dexter were the top two guys, and Hunter was offered first, and the way they did it is they were very transparent and open with Dexter and his coach and his family, and you know, told him this is the guy we offered first, and we're going to wait to see what he says. If he would have been offered first, it would have been, you know, you would have had the first chance to say yes or no. But they really love both guys. A little bit, you know, I mean, you know, kind of similar but different. I mean, Hunter's 6'2", 6'2½", 200 and, I don't know, 25, 30 pounds. Can runs well, but more of a straight line guy. You know, is but kind of a physical guy, but throws the ball really well. Athletic, I mean, four sport athlete there. And then Dexter is a guy, more wiggle, a little bit smaller, 6'1", 190 pounds, can really run, as you can see if you watch his highlight film. Really good arm, you know, can make, something I heard about his workouts is that he really impressed Coach DeBoer, Coach Allen, when he came on campus and threw the ball, can really rip it. You know, probably a little bit more raw, you know, which is not a huge deal. I mean, he's going to be a redshirt guy. I mean, you know, obviously you can't predict the future, but the plan is you bring him in, you redshirt him, you kind of bring him along at the pace that's good for his development. You don't have to throw him to the wolves, hopefully, too soon, but, you know, Jack Tuttle and Michael Penix ahead of him. So You know, it's you know, I like this get. You know, he plays down in Georgia. You know, plays at a smaller school, but still, Georgia football is Georgia football. You know, this is he's a bright kid. You see some of his offers that get like Navy and some other schools. We're obviously gonna have some intelligence to be considered by them. And I've talked to him a couple times. He's a great kid. Really excited to be the quarterback in this class for Indiana. And I think once they get him in and get him, you know, polish off some of the rough edges and coach him up, I think he's going to be got a chance to be a heck of a player. And like you said, if need be, you know, he's a guy you could probably move out to receiver. You could probably play him at DB. I mean, he's got some position versatility. And for whatever reason, quarterback wasn't the best spot for him. He could move to other spots for you.
Matt, a lot of IU fans, a few of them have commented on the site about how they don't really understand why this is a good fit with the three quarterbacks coming back. Is there a certain amount of, you know, number of scholarship quarterbacks that this staff wants to have at their disposal?
Well, I mean, ideally, I think most schools will tell you they want four, you know, minimum. I think that's going, you know, I think year in and year out, that's probably going to be unrealistic. You know, but just because it's just the way it is nowadays with the transfer portal and guys able to kind of jump ship at a drop of a hat, it's going to be tough. I think if you can keep three consistently year in and year out and maybe occasionally have a year where you got four, I think you're doing well. You know, obviously, if you get down to two, you're playing with fire, and we've seen that, you know, a couple times in the recent years with Indiana with injuries or transfers or whatever the reason it was. They were kind of down with their backs against the wall. As far as if somebody got hurt, you were really in a tight spot. So, you know, I'm not really sure why you, people wouldn't think it's a good fit. I think it's a great fit. I mean, it's an athletic kid who can really throw the ball. And like I said, as TJ mentioned, you got position versatility. And, you know, I mean, who knows what's going to happen going forward. I mean, you got two quarterbacks in the same class. One of them, only one of them can play. I'm not saying Tuttle or Penix is going to transfer, but like I said, it's just the nature of today's college football with quarterbacks. You know, guys get antsy if they're not playing. And, you know, if Peyton Ramsey loses the job this year, he's going to have a decision to make in about, you know, 6 months. I mentioned that on the board. He's on our board. He'll be a redshirt junior this fall and obviously would have the ability to grad transfer after the season. I'm not saying he will, but that's something that you've got to look at if you're a coaching staff. I mean, that is definitely got to be in your line of thinking. And, you know, there's been no indication that's going to happen, but you just, you know, if he wants to play college football and he loses the job to Michael Penix this year or Jack Tuttle, it's not going to be at Indiana more than likely. So, you know, I think it's a great fit, a great pickup. And you know, I think Coach DeBoer was very meticulous and patient in his recruiting. And I think it paid off with a good prospect.
I agree with that. Let's move on. The next guy who committed in the last 4 hours was Amaris Brown, a safety out of Armwood, a three-star player, had 7 interceptions last year as a junior. What does he bring to the table? Obviously, he brings great ball skills, but what else does he bring to the table for this IU squad?
Yeah, he's an athletic guy. You know, not as big as some of the safeties they've gotten recently with, like, Devon Matthews or Jawan Burgess or Jamar Johnson, you know, guys like that who are a tick taller. I mean, he's not small, but – you know, he's listed at 6 foot. He's probably more around 5'11". You know, coaches tend to, you know, fudge a little bit, but still plenty of size. He's played corner, so he's a guy that, you know, he'll be a safety, but you could probably slide him over if you had to. You could play him a corner. You know, he might be a guy that that grows into the nickel safety, which is the Husky position. You know, you might be able to use him some there. But, you know, just like you said, he's a ball hawk. I mean, to have that many interceptions, that's impressive. You know, athletic guy. Obviously, he's got good hands, to come up with those picks. You know, and Armwood High School is just a phenomenal, phenomenal football program. And we're talking about one of the better programs in the state of Florida. And if you're one of the better programs in the state of Florida, you're quite frankly one of the better programs in the country, because that's just, you know, that's top-notch football. High school football down there. So this is a good player, obviously from the same high school as James Miller. They didn't play together. He actually transferred in there from another high school. He transferred in after the 2017 season. So James Miller was that was his senior year, I believe. So they didn't play together. So they kind of passed, but not really as teammates. But still a great program, you know, good player, and I think he's going to fit in well. And, you know, good thing is with the depth you have at safety, you don't have to throw him in right away. That's one thing with these last year recruiting classes. These guys coming in, I mean, a lot of them will play because you have to play freshmen. The scholarship limitation is 85. But, you know, at some positions, you don't have to force them in. You can take them along slowly, maybe do the four-game thing, play them on special teams, just let them kind of get used to the speed of the game before they have to really take on a heavier burden, you know, playing defense or offense or whatever it may be.
TJ, any questions?
It would Noah Pierre be a somewhat of a good comp for him?
Yeah, I think Amaris has probably got a little bit better size. Maybe Sammy and me were talking earlier today. I think a little bit more athletic Khalil Bryant is kind of maybe, you know, that's just kind of, you know,
okay.
Me just kind of, you know what I mean? He's probably, you know, size-wise, maybe the same as Khalil. I'm trying to think what Khalil's listed at. He might be a tad bigger than Khalil. He's definitely bigger than Noah Pierre. Noah is, you know, if anybody's seen the kid can really, he athletically, he's gifted. I mean, he's not like super tall, but I mean, he can really run. I mean, this is a kid that Noah could be there, you know, if Cam Jones goes to senior, he might be the backup Husky. I mean, he's a physical kid, even though he's not real big, but he can run and tackle. And so, but he's probably a little bit bigger than him, but that's not a terrible comparison. I think size-wise, he's a little bit bigger. So, but, you know, you're getting kids from Florida, you know, they can play football down there, as I said.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the other kids in June – where Christopher Keys down at a Mississippi, and Caleb Murphy from Campbellsburg, Indiana. These were two guys who the staff, you know, looked under every stone to find in these small towns. I think Campbellsburg had like a population of about 500, Collins, Mississippi, was a little bit bigger, 2,500. These two, they've kind of gotten lost in the shuffle of those couple days here. But what does Christopher Keys and Caleb Murphy bring to this class?
Well, Christopher Keys brings speed he's going to be a cornerback. I was told at the camp that he was timed at a 4.4. So even if you factor in a little bit of, you know, with the hand time being a little bit off, that's still fast. I mean, even if they're a couple tenths off, that's still running in the 4.4s at 6.1. He's going to get bigger. You know, he's probably around 170 pounds, but, you know, that's not going to be an issue. He's got another year of high school, and then when you get him in on a college weight program, that won't be an issue. But he's got that length, you know, 6.1, and then, like I said, the speed and athleticism. You know, and it's interesting, you know, he's from down there, Coach Walmack, the D coordinator, Kane Walmack, is from down there, so he knows that state really well, knows a lot of the coaches, and his dad being down there knows a lot of the coaches, so, you know, obviously, you know, you look at his offer, you're kind of like, huh, but, you know, and I know his rating got, by 247 got, was pretty good. This is a kid, I think, you know, this could be a Matthew Bedford type situation, where they might have to, you know, fight for him till the end, but, you know, he's a solid commit and you know, good pickup. Caleb Murphy, yeah, like you mentioned, a little small town in southern Indiana, but a big frame. I mean, he listens to D-line, but he's really more of a jumbo athlete. He could play D-line. If he played D-line, he'd probably grow into a three-tech guy, you know, playing D-tackle. But, he might be a guy that could be kind of a big tight end or maybe even move to offensive line down the road. Just a big athletic kid. Obviously plays, you know, small school 1A, 2A football. So the adjustment for him is going to be an adjustment. He's going to have to, you know, get used to that speed of the game going against, you know, Division I Big Ten players. But I saw him at a spring practice, and he's got the length. You see his long arms. He's got a frame that really looks like it could support, you know, a good deal of weight and you know, make him a really intriguing player. So, you know, this is like another guy. This is another guy where you don't have to rush him on the field. You got plenty of depth. You know, even if it's tight end, O-line, D-line, you should have plenty of depth, and you can just kind of figure out where he fits. I mean, he's a big, long, athletic kid that, you know, these are the kind of guys. I mean, he kind of reminds me, I'm not saying he's going to be this, but kind of reminds me of guys that you see at Iowa, these kind of farm kids that they bring in and they put weight on them and they turn into, you know, really, really good players wherever they play them. And, you know, hopefully that turns out to be the case for Caleb.
This class now sits at nine commitments. It's 59th nationally, 11th in the Big Ten. How would you judge that? How this class is doing this year as opposed to last year when IU finished 39th and I believe 8th in the Big Ten?
Well, I mean, obviously the rankings are, but you know, right now rankings they can fluctuate so much just because one or two guys can make a school's ranking, the class ranking go up or down depending on what happens to somebody else. And the other thing about this, it's probably not going to finish as high as last year's. For the bottom line is, they're not going to sign as many guys. I mean, could something happen? There's unforeseen attrition. Yeah. But if they stay at around 20, which is what it's looking like it's going to be right now on paper, you know, a school that signed 25, 26, you know, their average ranking may be lower, but their points will be higher. So that's one thing fans, you know, it's not an apples-to-apples comparison sometimes in rankings. If a school signs four or five less guys, there's just no way you can be as high ranked with the way they do the point system as a school that's got 25, 26 guys. So, you know, I think they're off to a good start. I mean, obviously, they, you know, last week they had some guys they wanted that they didn't get, and it's disappointing. But, you know, that's recruiting. I mean, you know, I don't think there's anything in particular about last weekend that was bad. It just the way it goes. I mean, they finished second for Gage Keys. They finished second for Luke Kander. They finished second for Reggie Bracey. And they finished second to, you know, three programs that are, you know, have been pretty solid. And I know Louisville had a bad year, but they've got some new excitement with their coach. The guy from Appalachian State, Minnesota, went to a bowl game. And obviously Iowa, with getting Reggie Bracey, is a terrific program. So I don't think there's anything really to it. It's just, you know, those guys, it's just the way it went. And then this week, you know, it could be the reverse where you get a lot of the guys that you brought on campus. I mean, it's just the way it goes. And, you know, it's why you keep recruiting and have a pool of guys at every position and you know, that you like, and hopefully you get enough of them.
With the spots remaining, I know that, you know, offensive line is going to continue to be a focus. Dennis, the potential, I don't know if he actually is a four-star, but highly thought of offensive line prospect from Florida. I know that, you know, he is high on Indiana very high on him, it seems. You know, a few other offensive linemen, Josh Fryer. You're looking at Indiana probably taking another three offensive linemen in this class, and then you'll be on that, maybe a defensive tackle like a Juwan Sparks he's, what, 6'2", 320 or something, really, really big kid. And then Tyler Scott is a player that Indiana just had on campus from Ohio that I guess you call him an athlete. I don't know where Indiana envisions playing him, but to me, when I watched his highlight tape as an amateur, amateur scout, if you will, electric guy that I would want to have the ball in his hands at slot receiver or something like that. But where do you see Indiana turning their attention now to try and keep building this class?
Well, I think you get the nail on the head when you start off with O-line. They want to get five in this class, and they've got two, and Luke Wigginton and Cameron Knight. You know, you want to try to get three more guys. Josh Fryer's right up there at the top. You mentioned him, and he's taken some visits to some good schools: Oregon, Penn State. Ohio State this past weekend after visiting Indiana. You know, I'm kind of hearing that, you know, Oregon and Penn State might be too far, that this could come down to an Indiana-Ohio State battle. And, you know, the IU's feeling good about their position with him. So, you know, it's going to be tough. Obviously, the Buckeyes, you know, they typically get who they want, especially when they're going up against an Indiana or an Illinois or Minnesota or Purdue, name the school. They usually – and even when they're going up against, you know, traditional powers, they get a lot of the guys they want. But he's got the connections to the program, the ties to the university with his parents. His dad obviously played at IU and went there. I think his mom went there too. So he'd be at the top of the list. After that, I mean – Dennis is going to be tough. He's a South Florida kid. He went to the Paradise Camp at University of Miami this past weekend. You know, he says he's going to wait, but if they kind of put the screws to him about a decision, I wouldn't be shocked if he kind of caves in and commits down there. But, you know, if he doesn't, then obviously he has still got a chance. other positions, you know, David Baker's announcing this week on Friday. I confirmed that today with David, and he's on his profile the 28th, and I feel very good about Indiana's chances here. You know, recruiting's always fluid, but I think they'd like to take three receivers, it'd be my guess. And so you got one, Rashawn Williams, and then obviously if you get David Baker, hypothetically, then you got one more spot. I'd like to get a tight end. They had Jalen Williams on campus this past weekend from the Orlando area. Big, tall guy. I mean, really fluent for a guy his size. I watched his highlights and was surprised at how fluid he looked. He looks tall, but he doesn't look kind of like a gangly or a deer on skates kind of type of deal. He moves well, and they'd really love to get him. You know, we've talked about running backs, not a huge need. D-line, you know, Caleb Murphy might or might not be one, but they'd like to get three. You mentioned Juwan Sparks. I talked to him, and I think IU's really in the driver's seat there. I wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't pull the trigger this week and commit to Indiana. I could see that happening. His teammate Jerry Theodore is another guy here they're in great shape with. And if, you know, you could take one more, and then possibly if Caleb Murphy's not an O-lineman, if he's an athlete, maybe you take two more if you would happen to get those two guys. Deontay Craig, obviously, is right there at the top of the list of the guys they'd like to get. Dunn at linebacker, Dunn now at corner. And then safety, Buddy Mack has moved to the top with Reggie Bracey committing. And they'd like to take two more safeties other than Amaris Brown. So that's kind of the numbers, you know, kind of I know we went through it fast. Those are kind of where they're at as far as what they're still looking for.
Tyler Scott, just, you know, could you touch on him real quick? Indiana City, good spot with him. And where do you think they would be playing him? I just love guys like that that you think about, you know, being a versatile athlete that you just try and get the ball in their hands. But, you know, again, that's my plan for him, and I'm sure the IU staff would have a much better idea of how to use a player like that if Indiana could land him. But do you think he's as explosive as I thought his highlights indicated? Obviously, you're getting the best parts of his game from those tapes, but is that the type of player Indiana would be getting there, kind of a, you know, dynamic athlete that you try to utilize that explosiveness?
Yeah, Tyler's another guy I talked to. He had a great visit, and his plan was to kind of maybe wait till later in the summer, and he told me he's going to be signed sooner rather than later. You know, I don't want to say it's going to happen, but typically when a guy tells you right after a visit that he's getting close to committing, it usually bodes well for the school that he just visited. I mean, that was the case with Reggie Brace. It's not always the case, but a lot of times that's the case. And, you know, he's a guy who can be on either side of the ball now. You know, they think he could play all five defensive back positions. They think he can play both safety spots, both corner spots, and they even think he could play the Husky spot. But they also think he could be obviously tremendous on offense, like you mentioned, TJ, and then as a returner too. I asked him what he prefers. He told me that he's pretty open, but if he had to pick, he would probably pick defense. But I think this is a kind of a Reese Taylor type deal. I mean, he's obviously he didn't play the same position, but where you try to put him on both sides of the ball, get a package for him, because like you said, his burst is really, really impressive when he's got the ball in his hands. I mean, it doesn't take him long to get going either. Some guys, it takes a few. I mean, he is at top speed like that, and he was just blowing away from guys. And he plays up, you know, his school is near around Cleveland, I think just south of Cleveland. So, you know, he's playing pretty good competition there in Ohio. And, you know, I'm with you, TJ. He's the kind of guy that, you know, you want more explosive plays on offense. This is the kind of guy that can give it to you. And help you in that regard. You know, now if you want to try him on both sides, maybe you do that. But I think at the very least, you got to figure out a way, if you do get him, to put together a package where he's touching the ball 5, 6, 8 times a game on offense, because, you know, you give him that many touches, maybe one or two of them could go for, you know, huge plays.
All right. Thanks for joining us, Matt. And it's been a busy week. And, you know, I hope for everybody's sake, who's an IU football fan, our busy continues. But thank you for taking the time out of your day to come chat with recruiting with us.
No problem, guys. I enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Matt.
That was Matt Weaver from Pigs.com. Go over to Pigs.com, read his stuff. He's an absolute great on the IU football beat. TJ, any final thoughts before we wrap up this recruiting podcast?
Yeah, I mean, any time you miss out and, you know, second place, while it's good to be in those battles and it's good to be close, second place in recruiting doesn't get you anything. And it was really nice to see a weekend where Indiana was able to, you know, secure a few commitments and be in really good position for others after a disappointing weekend. Like Matt said, that happens. It's recruiting, and you're going to have times where you finish second. You're going to have times where you think you're in a good spot. You don't get the guy. And then, you know, if you're doing it right, you're going to be pursuing a lot of players that a lot of other good schools want. So you're going to hear no quite a bit, but it's important to, you know, not miss on too many of those targets and end up with, you know, your fourth and fifth options on your target list. So it was nice to see Indiana wrap up and secure some commitments of some players that I'm pretty excited about. And hopefully we'll have more coming soon. It certainly sounded like Matt was anticipating, and he's put this on the Peaks board as well, so check that out. He's anticipating some good news potentially later this week or early next week from some guys at IU really impressed on their recent visits, and they might be close to popping. So exciting time for Indiana to kind of start building this class.
Yeah, it's great momentum to start heading into that season. We're already, you know, close to the end of June here. The days are starting to get a little bit shorter. Hopefully they get a little less rainy as we head into summer, as Indiana's become Florida North here in more than just the recruits that Tom Allen's pulling out from the Sunshine State. But this is some good momentum that they have going in. Media days are about 3 weeks away, and going into that and then fall camp, you need all the momentum that you could have to feel good about your team and your program. And right now, IU has that ball rolling and rolling downhill at a significant pace. So, TJ, thanks for joining us on this podcast. I believe we'll be back in a couple of weeks to preview midday and, you know, start our coverage for the 2019 Indiana football season.
Absolutely. That is really exciting. And thanks for having me on, of course, as always. And everybody, thanks for listening. We are looking forward to continuing the preview content on Hoosier Huddle with the countdown and lots of other fun stuff on the way. So, you know, head over there, check out the site, of course, and keep on listening because we're going to ramp up our 2019 coverage. It's another college football season that, of course, we're both real excited about.
Yep, and just 2 months away, the opening game of college football is August 24th, featuring Florida and Miami, and that's just 2 months away. So thanks for checking us out. You can find us on the internet at HoosierHuddle.com. You can find us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle, and you can download the podcast on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Armchair Sports, or Armchair All-American, and anywhere you can find your podcast. So thanks for joining us. Don't be a stranger. And hopefully you have enjoyed our preseason coverage. Much more to come, as TJ said. Enjoy the rest of this sunny evening while it lasts. And we'll see you in a couple weeks for Media Day.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.